How heavy is that weight on your shoulders? How long do you want to carry it? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
What do you do when you're worn out, stressed out because of heavy burdens that you're carrying on your shoulders? You go to the Lord. I mean, that seems pretty easy. He issues the invitation, come to me. And so it's pretty easy. All you got to do is come to Jesus. Hey, I got this heavy burden that I'm carrying, and the Lord says, come, and I just need to come to Him. Simple, right? Not so simple. It's really hard for people to come to Jesus. It's so very hard for so many people to come to Jesus. And you know why it's so hard? Because they don't understand the Jesus they're coming to.
He can heal every scar.
Do you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? You may often hear Christians say, oh, just give it to Jesus. But that advice is just a pleasant-sounding cliche, unless you really know and trust the Jesus that you're giving your burdens to. I mean, to know Him personally. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today, and we're so glad that you've joined us for a message that'll lift your spirits and the weight on your shoulders. The lesson is called Heavy Burdens, and it's from the series A New Lease on Life. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 11, and let's listen now as Pastor Jeff explains how to find real rest when you hand over those heavy burdens.
Matthew chapter 11, I'll begin reading in verse 28. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." What are we to do when we're carrying heavy burdens? How can we find rest in the Lord? Three steps that you and I must take. Step number one, we must see our opportunity. The Lord in this passage is issuing an invitation. Come to me. To all those people who were hearing, He was issuing an invitation. Now, this is an invitation from the King of Glory. This is an invitation from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, from the King of Glory, and the King of Glory is inviting you and inviting me to come to Him. He said, oh, Jeff, I don't think He's inviting me. And He might invite some of you. He's not inviting me because, Jeff, I got a lot of sin in my life. I have a lot of things that I have done in life. And so He wouldn't invite me because He knows about me and He wouldn't want me to come. Are you weighed down with sin, with guilt and shame from things that you've done in your past? See, He specifically invites those who are weighed down. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, the New American Standard says. Heavy laden. The word heavy laden means to load, to weigh down, to overburden. Did you know when God talks about being weighed down like that, He often couples it with sin. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, "Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity." David, who had sinned so terribly and done such terrible, horrible things. And he said in Psalm 38, verse 4, "For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They weigh too much for me." Just crushing him under the weight of his sin. It was a heavy burden upon him. Maybe you can identify with David. Maybe you're here and you feel crushed by the weight of your sin and your guilt and your shame. The Lord specifically invites you. He says, come to me. He invites those who are weighed down, and He invites those specifically who are weary. The word for weary means weary from hard work, weary from toil and from labor. And you know what this is speaking of primarily? When Jesus said, you who are weary and heavy laden, He was talking to the people. Not only were they weighed down with sins, but so many of them were weighed down with religion, trying so hard to please God. They were on a performance treadmill with God, and they were constantly doing things. And Lord, if I do this, if I just try harder, if I go to more services, if I pray longer, if I fast more, if I give more, then Lord, please, Lord, would you then accept me? They're on a performance treadmill with God. And you know, they had so many rules and regulations and laws to keep, because the Pharisees took the Ten Commandments and added hundreds of commandments on top of that. And they said, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do the other thing. And I mean, it was just immense. No one could do it. And Jesus said about those religious leaders, they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. There's no way anybody could keep the law and please God by keeping the law. And you know, so many people today are trying to do that. They're saying, that's the way I'm going to please God, is by keeping the Ten Commandments and keeping everything God's told me to do. And you miss the point. The point of the Ten Commandments is not so you can meet them. That's not why God gave that. Here's the standard. Here's how you have to walk. And this is all that you have to do. The purpose of the Ten Commandments is to show you you're a sinner. It's to show you you can't do it. As the Bible says in the book of Galatians, the law was given as a tutor to lead us to Christ. Because the law says you're a sinner and you're lost and you can't save yourself and God doesn't grade on a curve, and in order to get to heaven you must be perfect and you're not perfect and the soul that sins shall surely die, and the law says you're condemned. And Jesus came and took all that sin and died for you on the cross, and the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, to say, I am lost, I am weak, I am undone, I can't do it, but Lord, you did it for me. Jesus invites those who are weighed down with sins. He invites those who are weary with religion, trying so hard to please God. As Matthew 11, 28 says in the Message, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. So what's the first step? When you got this heavy burden that you're carrying, all these problems, all the weight of your life, first step, you see your opportunity. Step number two, not only must we see our opportunity, we must come to Jesus. I mean, that seems pretty easy. He issues the invitation, come to me. And so often the Lord issues an invitation and people say, well, I guess I'm invited, and they never come. And so it's pretty easy. All you got to do is come to Jesus. Hey, I got this heavy burden that I'm carrying, and the Lord says, come, and I just need to come to him. Simple, right? Not so simple. It's really hard for people to come to Jesus. It's so very hard for so many people to come to Jesus. And you know why it's so hard? Because they don't understand the Jesus they're coming to. They're afraid of coming to Jesus because they have a faulty view of God. They have a faulty view of the Lord and who he is. And the scripture here in these verses tells us about the Lord Jesus. First of all, Jesus is gentle. He says, for I am gentle. Now, you know what the devil tells you about Jesus, about the Lord Jesus? He's not gentle. He's rough and gruff and mean and cruel. He's kind of sadistic. He's got a hair trigger temper. He sits on a throne of judgment. He's got a big bag of thunderbolts in one hand, and he's got a billy club in the other hand, and he's just looking around. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may whack somebody who gets out of line. That's the God that the devil tells you is up in glory. That's a lie. He's a liar and the father of lies. Jesus is gentle. He's kind and sweet. He's loving in how he deals with you and me. See, it's safe to come to him because he's gentle. Do you remember the woman that got caught in adultery in the very act in John chapter 8? And they grabbed her and the religious leaders and took her to Jesus and threw her in front of Jesus and said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, in the very act. Remember, Jesus said, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Well, they all left. They dropped their stones and they walked out. And Jesus said to her, did no one condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He was very gentle with her. And he'll be gentle with you because he is gentle. And not only is he gentle, he's humble in heart. For I am gentle, he says, and humble in heart. This is amazing about the Lord, that he is humble. He is the King of glory. The Bible says the heavens, not even the highest heavens, can contain God. The scripture says in Psalm 96, verse 4, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Psalm 29 says, everything in God's temple says glory. That's how great God is. The Lord Jesus created everything. Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, speaking of Jesus. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He's creator God, and yet he's so humble. He's everything, and he's humble. You and I are nothing in comparison to him, and we tend to be so prideful. Isn't that amazing? And you know, when you think of the word humility, when you think of how the Lord is humble, you know what that means, really, when you boil it down? A person who is humble, it's not a person who thinks less of himself. Sometimes we get that idea. Well, you know, if you're really humble, you'll just say, well, you know, I'm not very good. I just can't do anything right. That's not being humble. Humility is not thinking too lowly of yourself, nor is it thinking too highly of yourself. It's thinking soberly about yourself. And real humility is not thinking about yourself. It's thinking about others. And that's the way the Lord Jesus is. He's all the time thinking about others. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, how many are thy thoughts to me, O God? How vast is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would outnumber the stars. They would outnumber the grains of sand on the beach. God is all the time thinking about you and me. He's gentle, the Lord Jesus is. He is humble. He's always thinking about you, and he's good. Jesus is good. He says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. That word easy can also be translated good. He's good. In Psalm 86, verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in love and kindness to all who call upon you. He's good. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 3, when they dedicated Solomon's temple to the Lord and the glory of the Lord fell on the house, the people all said, truly, the Lord is good. Truly, his loving kindness is everlasting. Truly. I remind myself daily, truly the Lord is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. You know why it's so important to remind yourself about that? Because it's so easy to let life hit you head on, to let the difficulties of life take you out, and you start to say, I don't think the Lord is good because of all the bad that has happened to me. See, all of us have a tendency to view life in a snapshot. Just what's going on right now, that's how we view our life. And the way we view our life is how we view God. Now, if life is going crummy and everything is going bad and you just got some terrible news from the doctor, from the lawyer, from this person or that person, and everything's falling apart, you look at your life in that snapshot and you say, this stinks. And God, you're not good because you've allowed this terrible, horrible thing to come into my life. You can't look at your life in a snapshot. I'm speaking to myself because I have a real tendency to judge things too quickly. And you don't let God work. When I was a kid growing up, there was a program on Houston television, on their public television. It was a show about a painter. He had a 30-minute show. His name was Bill Alexander. And he would paint the coolest paintings in the 30-minute program. And it was always some beautiful scene with mountains and with a beautiful lake and just snow-capped and the sun coming in and the cloud. It was so cool. And he would do it like that. And then all of a sudden, he'd pull out a dark color on the paint palette. And he'd start putting stripes on this side, stripes on that side. Really dark, dark color. That just these lines. And I remember thinking to myself, Oh, way to go, Bill. You just ruined the painting. But Bill knew what he was doing. Bill Alexander, he would take those lines, and from those lines, he would make trees. And the trees would then hang over this lake that he painted with the snow-capped mountains in the background. And all of a sudden, the picture now had more depth and it had more beauty. So you know what I did? I judged it based on the lines. I didn't let him finish. I just looked at the lines and said, "You've ruined this." That's the way so many of us do with God. God will paint a line over your serene life. Over everything was going good. And then all of a sudden these lines come in, these dark lines. And you say, "God, why did you do that? God, you don't know what you're doing. God, you're not good." Truly, the Lord is good. Truly, his loving kindness is everlasting. God is good. What you and I do is we get ourselves off the easel and we don't let God finish the painting in our lives. And we need to just say, "Lord, I trust you. I don't understand why these dark lines have come into my life, but I trust you because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are good and your loving kindness is everlasting." See, I can come to a God like that who is good, who loves me, who's gentle, who's humble in heart. I can take that heavy burden and roll that off on a God like that. What do? How do you get rest? You see your opportunity. I can come. You take advantage of the opportunity. Step two, you come to him. And step three, you submit to the Lord Jesus. You submit to him. He says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." Take my yoke, he says. Now, we don't really use that word yoke anymore. I mean, there are probably not just a ton of farmers in here that have yokes. A yoke was a wooden harness that they would use in Bible times and still today on animals to pull carts and plows and mill beams. And you'd put two animals in there, two oxen in there, and they would pull your plow, and they would be yoked together. Now, a yoke represents submission. When Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," what he was talking about was submission, to submit to him. It was said in Jewish circles, if they were talking about a student, they would say, "He is under the yoke of his master. He has yielded himself to his master. He is under his master's yoke." And the Lord is saying that to you and me. Would you yield yourself to me? Would you come under my yoke? And you say, "Well, the yoke, that sure doesn't look very comfortable. That looks like that would be really uncomfortable. Put that thing around my neck." You know, it's cool. Jesus was a carpenter before he became the preacher. He lived as a carpenter. He made yokes as a carpenter. The yoke the Lord has for you is good. It will fit you perfectly. It represents submission. Every person on planet Earth is wearing a yoke. You're either yoked to sin and self, or you're yoked to God's Son. What yoke are you wearing today? Who are you submitting to today? To sin and self, or to the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God?
Have you decided what yoke you'll be wearing? As Pastor Jeff Shreve has made so clear today on From His Heart, the invitation to come to Jesus, to come under his yoke, is ours today, regardless of who we are or what we've done. In just a moment, he'll return with a few more wise and encouraging words about how your rest in the Lord is linked to your submission to the Lord. Speaking of heavy burdens, Jesus carried the ultimate heavy burden for you and me when he suffered and died on the cross. But as we well know, he rose from the dead. Wouldn't you absolutely love to see where all this sacrifice and triumphant joy happened? Pastor Jeff will be hosting an incredible 11-day trip to the Holy Land this fall, and he'd love for you to join him. And you will be changed by this extraordinary journey. Now, the seats are filling up fast, so go online today at fromhisheart.org. Click the Holy Land banner for a trip of a lifetime, no doubt. Now, let's get back to conclude this very timely and relevant lesson for us all today from the series A New Lease on Life. Here again is Pastor Jeff to help us relieve our heavy burdens.
Who are you submitting to today? To sin and self, or to the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God? You can't really be His disciple and learn from Him unless you come under His yoke, unless you come under His authority, unless you submit to Him. His yoke represents submission, and submission is required to enjoy His rest. See, He says it twice in these three verses. I will give you rest. You don't have to earn rest. He gives you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest. The word rest means a cessation from labor. It's also translated to refresh. And God wants to bring refreshment. He wants to bring rest. As the scripture says in Psalm 46, verse 10, cease striving and know that I am God. Be still, relax, let go. Come under my yoke and receive my rest. That's what the Lord wants for you and for me, to enjoy His rest. Now, if you'll notice in verse 29, in my Bible, the New American Standard, where it says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. That's in all capital letters. Anytime in the New Testament you find things in all capital letters, that means there's a quotation from the Old Testament. And Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you'll find rest for your souls. But you reply, no. That's not the road we want. I posted watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of the alarm. But you replied, no. We won't pay attention. God's Old Testament people, when He told them, this is the way, walk in it, when He said, in effect, listen, you want rest, your heavy burden, take my yoke upon you, do what I say, they said, no, we won't do what you say. And Jesus said in the New Testament, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? How are you ever going to experience rest? How are you ever going to experience joy and peace if you don't obey me? If you don't do what I say. Listen, rest comes only when you come to Jesus and submit to Jesus. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. You can come to Him and take His yoke and let Him carry you and carry your burden. You have a choice. What is your answer to Him?
No matter what you've done in the past or where you find yourself now, Jesus has made the invitation for you to come to Him and to find your complete rest. And the only way to experience that true rest is through submission to Him, the Lord that loves you so much. If you'd like more information about how to know Jesus and to trust Him, we'd like to invite you to go to fromhisheart.org and click the Why Jesus link. You'll find some wonderful material there to help you get started in your Christian journey. Well, we're out of time for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, and we trust that you'll be here next time when Pastor Jeff will present another powerful message to help us remove that heavy burden of guilt. Be here for the lesson, Not Guilty, next time on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. go to fromhisheart.org.